Let's talk to our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden. He has a great podcast called All Things Covered, two-time Super Bowl champion. And, of course, he is a football analyst for CBS. B-Mac, I know you're on the road, man. Where are you at? Where have you been, first and foremost?
Well, I'm back on dry land, as I like to say. I just got back late last night. But I was with the Houston Texans. I know you talked about next Thursday, the Hall of Fame game that will consist of the Houston Texans. And I'm not mistaken, the Chicago Bears. So I was with Houston last week for their first full padded practice, which was very, very intense. And then I left Houston, went to Indianapolis to participate in the Big Ten Media Week from Tuesday until yesterday.
Very cool. Well, we want to start with, and we're going to get to the Falcons, but there's so many different storylines Mike and I have been talking about all week long.
Yeah, man. I know. The Texans, it's funny. We saw the Chiefs and we saw the Texans scrapping early. Usually it takes about 4 or 5 days of hitting the same guys, maybe 2 weeks, Brian, before guys start wailing on each other. Is it the new NFL? Are they getting meaner? Because we were joking around. This Falcon practice so far is literally like patty cake compared to the stuff that you probably went through.
Oh, no question. I think, you know, you will see more intensity with Atlanta once they put on, you know, the full pads. But for what I witnessed with Houston was just the physical nature that's being displayed on either side of the football. And, you know, coming from DeMeco Ryans, who once was a player in the National Football League, you know, DC, you look at his coaching style, it's all about being physical. And that's what I saw. And I tell you this much, guys, I know we're hearing a lot about the expectations for some organizations in the NFC or the AFC. But the Houston Texans, they have a varsity squad. They look the part. I mean, from top to bottom, O-line, D-line, linebackers, wide receivers, when they walk off the bus, they look like they're ready to go. And I know we're talking about Kansas City, of course, deserving so as the cream of the crop, and not just the NFL, but the AFC. But people need to start paying attention to the Houston Texans, because if they stay healthy, you're hearing it here first from me. That could be a team that can get to the Super Bowl.
B-Mac, I think it's a breakup, and I want you to tell me what you think. Did you hear what Jerry Jones said, and then did you hear what Dak Prescott's response was? Basically, paraphrasing, Dak said, look, sometimes, you know, I watch my favorite quarterbacks in this league, and, you know, they've moved on, and they're with their second team, and that's not a bad thing. You can't be fearful of that. Jerry said, sometimes in life there have been things I wanted to get, and I couldn't get them, and then I've been better off for them. It sounds like this thing is – this is what they said yesterday. This thing sounds like it's a breakup. This is like the last run. Whatever happens regardless, because they don't want to pay Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tongue wrestling going on early on out there with the Cowboys during their camps. But, yeah, you know, I think the writing was already on the wall, guys, because usually organizations that really believe in their franchise quarterback, they don't allow them to get to the final year of their deal without getting something done, without getting an extension done. You don't usually see that. So they kind of told us without telling us what they thought about Dak Prescott moving forward outside of the season of 2024, because he's at this spot in this contract where nothing has been done. And get this, we have yet to hear about there have been conversations. They're close. We're this far away. It's almost like they're not even talking about contracts with Dak Prescott. And if they are, it's all been internal. So I think it is safe to say this might be Dak Prescott's final year in the Cowboys uniform. And it's odd to really see that happening, because Dak Prescott is a winning quarterback in the National Football League. I know he gets criticized a lot for the lack of production in the postseason, but he's a winning quarterback. Usually guys that are older in their career with their draft team, that's when they separate and go opposite directions, like Brett Favre did with the Green Bay Packers when he played the majority of his career out in Green Bay. Of course, towards the end of his career, he left. The same could be said with Peyton Manning when he was with the Colts, and then eventually towards the end of his career, he left. Dak Prescott is still in the prime of his years, in my opinion. So I think the writing is on the wall. We just got to see how it plays out.
He just can't win the big one, Brian. I mean, that's the knock on him. Had his best year with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's in his last year of his contract, by the way. So what's Jerry going to do? Going to try to go the free agent route, bring in another quarterback and a new coach? Could Belichick be the guy next year? Are they going to go draft a quarterback? Because it just seems like the Cowboys are so close, they just need to not choke. Last year against Green Bay, that was just a choke job.
And they don't have a plan. But to your point about that, Prescott just can't win the big one. Call Mike. How many quarterbacks can win the big one?
We got a guy here with a rep that can't win the big one, and Kirk Cousins. Exactly. A lot of guys.
Think about it. And I look at that with Kirk Cousins as kind of unfair because there's only a few that can win the big one. There's only a few that have shown the ability to win the big one. One of the more talented, productive quarterbacks in the National Football League, not named Patrick Mahomes, is Lamar Jackson. He has the same amount of MVP awards as playoff wins. Like, that's the consensus throughout the National Football League at the quarterback position. But I'll tell you this much. Give me a quarterback that can at least get me close to competing for a big one than a quarterback that you know you don't have a shot. Because you talked about the playoff game against Green Bay. Yes, Dak Prescott didn't play his best ball to start the game off. But he got things rolling. Dak Prescott had nothing to do with the defense not stopping Aaron Jones. Dak Prescott had nothing to do with the defense not stopping Jordan Love and his pass catchers. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I know Dak Prescott threw a pick six, which is 6 points in favor of the opposing team. But the Cowboys still scored 30-plus points and lost. Mm.
By the way, speaking
correct me
of
if I'm wrong, right?
Well, no. No, you're
like
right.
Mid-30?
You're right. Absolutely. I mean, that's just – it's been part of the issue. We're going around the NFL with our buddy B-Mac. Ravens quarterback, by the way, Lamar Jackson, out of practice for the second straight day with illness. Lasted just 1 hour in camp in his debut on Wednesday. So I guess he's a little bit under the weather. And they're just like, look, man, you're good. Current MVP, you can take some time. But that's coming out of the Ravens camp. Meanwhile, what do you make of what else is going on? We got a bunch of holdouts and hold-ins. Ja'Marr Chase, right? He's there, but he's not on the field. We talked about Trent Williams yesterday with the 49ers. And I think the 49ers situation is, B, tell me what you think. Who can you win with and who can you win without? I think they can win without Brandon Ayuk. I do not think they win without Trent Williams.
I agree with you. And that is a story that I think we need to monitor more so than the Brandon Ayuk situation. Mm-hmm. Because Trent Williams, whatever it is he's asking for, you cannot debate should he receive. He means that much for their offense. You know, when you talk about the offensive mindset, you usually look at the quarterbacks and some skilled players. For their offense, for what they do, he is the transmission for their car. If you don't have Trent Williams, you're not going to go very, very far because he does so much. Number one, he shores up Brock Purdy's left side, and he's an intimidator. You know, he's the guy that when you have an issue, that's who you go get. Oh, I got an issue. Let me go get Big Trent. Let's go get it done, Big Trent. And guess what? He lives up. I mean, he's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it. And my thing is about this, it just kind of happened out of nowhere. I don't know if internally they were aware that Trent probably wouldn't show up if he didn't do something to his contract. But for me, when I heard he didn't show up, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Where did this come from? Because all the attention has been on who? Brandon Ayuk. You know what I mean? So that is something to monitor out in San Francisco because how can you please everyone, right? Whatever Trent Williams is asking for, you got to give him. But then what about Brandon Ayuk? Because if you paid Trent Williams, who still has years left on his deal, you know Brandon Ayuk's going to feel some type of way more so than what he's already feeling. So that's the storyline, guys, I think we need to monitor throughout training camp because if you're Trent Williams, no question, whatever it is, you're underpaid, and I think he has the leverage to sit out as long as possible until something is done.
It is a Brian McFadden. He's going Julio on San Francisco. We're talking about Trent Williams. No, man, Brian McFadden with his two-time Super Bowl winner here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. So, Brian, talk about Cincinnati. You know, a window of opportunity with all your players, your best players, what Buffalo just had and maybe missed. What is going to happen with T. Higgins? You know, and who am I forgetting? Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase. You got two of the best on that offense and make it cook. So how does that get fixed?
Well, T. Higgins is not getting a contract extension from Cincinnati. He's not lowering his price, and he should not lower his price. But with that being said, he's not going to get an extension because you talked about Ja'Marr Chase. And, oh, by the way, Ja'Marr Chase still has 2 years left on his deal. And he's a hold-in. So it's almost like, number one, he's a hold-in. T. Higgins is there who reported, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I saw that he actually did report to camp under the franchise tag. So it's almost like he understands where he is when it comes to contracts with the Cincinnati Bengals. But what do you do with Cincinnati? Because for all our football heads that are listening to us, if you know anything about the Bengals, they're cheap.
They're super cheap. Yes, they are.
They're cheap. They'll pay a quarterback, no question. But other positions, they try to nickel and dime as much as possible. So knowing that Ja'Marr Chase has 2 years under his rookie deal, knowing you don't necessarily got to pay Ja'Marr Chase right now, what happened? Because Ja'Marr Chase is not in the same situation as CeeDee Lamb, who has 1 year under his deal, and CeeDee Lamb is probably like the 24th highest paid wide receiver. You know, Ja'Marr Chase might say, I'm younger, but name me another wide receiver that has done what I've done, given the opportunity to do so. So for Cincinnati, that's another peculiar situation because you need to pay Ja'Marr Chase, but usually, guys, you guys know how it goes. Usually guys don't get paid until going into their final year of their deal, especially non-quarterbacks. So we got to wait and see how it plays out. But Cincinnati, man, that's a nickel and dime organization. They're one of the organizations who don't mind shopping at the clearance rack.
Oh, we told the story years ago. Remember on Hard Knocks, Carl, the players had to rent the TVs in their dorm room?
That's right.
When David Pollack got drafted, he's like, so when's the plane getting to pick me up? No, you're going to Hartsfield and you're flying up to Cincinnati. So that's the way they operate. Real quick, in the division, Deshaun Watson said this year they're going to cut out all the BS. What is Deshaun Watson going to be?
Well, first and foremost, what was the BS?
His BS doing?
What BS was going on in Cleveland? Because throughout all the adversities with injuries, they still were very, very successful. So, number one, I'm confused about we got to cut out the BS because they were doing something right. But
this wasn't
two,
involving him.
Yeah. And that's the thing. They were successful without their, you know, franchise-like quarterback. But for me, I did my prediction about a week and a half ago, AFC predictions, and I had Cleveland to win the division. I had Cleveland to win the division. Number one, I love their roster. I think they have one of the more talented rosters in the AFC North from top to bottom, along with a very, very stout, opportunistic defense. And, you know, under the best scenario, you get all of your superstars back healthy on the offensive side. Who's slowing down that offense? And then you add in Jerry Jeudy, you know, with Dan Joku, Amari Cooper, you know, Moore. So they got some guys that can play football who played football well last year. And if Deshaun Watson just – I don't expect to see Deshaun ever get back to that Houston Deshaun Watson because he missed so much time, you know what I mean? So that kind of messed up his rhythm. But if he can get back to being a more than a serviceable guy and a playmaker, I mean, good luck in trying to slow that team down. So I picked them to win the AFC North.
Yeah. Where are you headed next, brother?
Oh, next, I got Pittsburgh this upcoming week coming up. And then I get chance to go to Chicago, get some one-on-one with Caleb Williams as well. And I think I'm doing that after the Hall of Fame game. So next week I got Pittsburgh, and after that I get Chicago. And till anything else is scheduled, they need to get me the flowery branch, man. I don't know what's going on, man. They got a lot of buzz going on. That's locally for me. But as of right now, my next two stops is the Steelers and Chicago, the Bears.
All right, bro. Your boy Troy Polamalu was up there. I just saw a pic of him and Mike T kicking it, talking about family. Hey, so I'm sure you'll be all
Troy
up in there.
Troy's trying to get in the front office when it comes to scouting. Yes, that. I don't know if it has been. I don't know if I should I have said something. I'm not sure.
Right. You know what? I will say this, Carl. Troy has him. A good head on his shoulders?
He does.
I'm talking too much. My bad.
No, man. You know what? No, listen.
Now we know.
Nothing's happened. But when it does, we'll say you heard it first here.
Now he's Kirk Cousins spilling the beans.
B-Mac, we got to run, man. Hey, be safe. Enjoy. So glad football's back, man. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me.